بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم الحمد لله it's a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has enabled us to come and learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learn the knowledge of Islam. And it is very important that whatever action we take in future related to anything regarding our different aspects of life, we should always learn all the relating masails and learn about it so that we can do it properly and so that we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we as Muslims, we all know that every action that we do, we have to give account for it. And if we do it rightly, then we will get rewarded. If we do it wrongly, then obviously we will have to face the consequences of that. So today's topic and subject is about love and marriage. Now we have divided into four. Obviously the topic is quite large, so we have chosen just a couple of points and a couple of shall we say the main and the ones that are very beneficial and the ones that we find that we, if we do not make preparation for those events during that, we find difficulty and later was we have to face the consequences of that. So this is why we've decided that we are going to cover those topics. So inshallah, again, like first and foremost, it is important that we sit down with the intention of learning, and second, that whatever we have learned, we try to practice upon it, inshallah. So the first and foremost thing is to understand what is the actual point and what is the benefit and what is the function of a family in Islam. Now, Sheikh Faisal Hamad Abdul Razak, the book that we have used to take our information and points from, he says that the family is the basic unit of Islamic society and marriage is the stepping stone for a spiritual, social, economic and legal foundation. The institution of family and marriage in Islam must be understood in the context of purpose of life that Islam seeks to establish. Now, what we have to understand is that, first of all, whatever we do it because it is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we have created man solely for the purpose of worshipping me. So that is the main duty of the existence of mankind. Why we have been created. That is the purpose and that is our goal. So whatever we do has to come within that framework of ibadah. That framework of fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's not within that framework, then it will not be ibadah. Then either it will be an act of sin or there will be no reward. So which is something that we as human beings should not be doing anything which is fruitless. Our actions should always be fruitful. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. So the first and foremost thing is to understand the purpose of our life. What is our purpose of our life? And that is what I have just mentioned. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states in the Quran. That is the purpose of our life. Is that everything will revolve around deen, around ibadah, around pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what ibadah is all about. Ibadah is about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about doing everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. And that is following the awamir, following the hukums and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner, in the fashion of which Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had illustrated and demonstrated throughout his whole life. And that is what we seek to do. And if we do that, then we have achieved our goal. And if we haven't, then we haven't achieved our goal. So in that context, again, marriage is a part of life. It's a phase of life which every man or woman tries to go through. Some do not go through it, but majority, if the opportunity arises, they go through that. So it is a phase, and it is a time in a person's life where he has to go through. Hence, he has to do it, or he or she has to do it properly, and do it in a way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with him or her, so that he or she can become successful in the hereafter. So, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ explains that. Secondly, for that to be fulfilled, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in a way where we as humans cannot live separately. We cannot live individually. We live as a community, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us such like that. Al-insan is a word in Arabic, it means human being, but it has been derived from the word al-ins. Al-ins means mahabba, means love, means something, a person who, or something that likes to be in the company of others. So that is why a person does not like normally, and the natural disposition of a person is that he or she would like to live within a community, maybe a family, or as a generally in a community. A person would not like to live separately. And if, you know, if it was his something that he was capable of controlling of, then no. If it's something that he can't control, then that's beyond. But naturally, a person would like to live with other people. So, for that to happen, procreation will take place. That is the next stepping point. Because if a person doesn't procreate, then the family and people are not created. Hence, there is no community. Community happens through procreation. Community happens because family expands, community expands, and that is how community and family is built, is through procreation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen that he gave it with the understanding that we have to interact with each other. So all of the command that you will see is based on the fact that we are living with each other. We are living with other people. Yeah, we are living with our parents, or we are living with other Muslim brothers. We have neighbors, or we have employers, or we have some sort of link with human mankind. And based on that, the whole deen has been revealed. And that is why in Surah An-Nisa, you see that all the injunction relating to mankind, which we today call as human rights, have all been explained in Surah An-Nisa. Why is this human rights being explained? It's because man tends to live with other people. And he or she, if he wants to live in peace and harmony, if he wants to fulfill the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he or she would have to observe these rights which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down. Which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down. So the whole deen, if you come to look at it, it's all about rights. It's all about rights, nothing else. So if you see what is the parents' rights, what is the father's rights, what is the child's right, what is the neighbor's rights, what is the employer's, the employees, all these rights, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained throughout the course of his life. Because we as human beings cannot live separately. So the whole purpose of having the family is so that we live in a community and we stay in the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to stay. That is why celibacy is not part of deen. You know? And what we say, monasticism is something which is not part of deen. Why? It's because that is not what Islam is about. If you see all the injunctions, it's all related to interaction with human beings. So if it was that celibacy was celebrated, or celibacy is something that which Islam promoted, then you won't have all these injunctions. La rahbaniyata fil Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is no rahbaniyah. There is no monotheism monotheism in Islam. There is no celibacy in Islam. This is something which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked. So this is why that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in many verses of the Quran relating to these hukuks and to these rights. And in a verse which in Surah An'am verse 65, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ, is again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining that the purpose of our life is what? Is that we are advisory in this world. We are responsible. We are responsible for the people who are underneath us. That if we had nobody underneath us, then there will be no need of mentioning this verse. There will be no need of saying that we are the Khalifa. We are the viceroys. We are responsible. Yes, if there is nobody underneath us, then we are responsible for ourselves. But whoever's underneath us, we have the responsibility of those people. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining, that our purpose in marriage is that we procreate and we live within a community. And again, like I explained, that the Sharia is there is to guide us and to help us to build that tranquility which is needed not just from the outside but from within. This is why he says to have tranquility from within and peace from without. Now these two can only be achieved if, number one, first and foremost, is that we have our internal carnal desires controlled. Number one. If our carnal desires are not controlled, then we will not be able to achieve tranquility from within, internal peace. Because as human beings, we have carnal desires. It is the natural instincts of the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that for a purpose. Again, that is part of the necessity of procreation. If we didn't have this natural instinct, then we wouldn't procreate. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that not just within human beings, but all of his creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has kept that natural instinct so that they go on and develop and become a bigger community. So the tranquility from within, that can only be achieved, i.e. having taqwa and having the internal kind of desires. Again, these are two interlaced, interconnected. A taqwa is also something which is dependent on that. Because if a person doesn't have the tranquility, then sometimes that can subdue his faculty of understanding. And then that can overcome. His emotion may override his capacity of understanding. And then he may not, or he, she may not, know what she is doing. But if a person is tranquil, if a person is in peace and harmony within themselves, then the following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very easy. So to get this tranquility and to have the peace from the outside, because a person may have peace and tranquility within himself, but if the surrounding community that he lives in or she lives in, if there's no tranquility in that, then he or she cannot live in tranquility for a very long time. Because if a person in his own home is living peacefully, but the neighbors next door playing full blast music 24 hours, 24/7, how is he going to live in peace? Or how is she going to live in peace? He or she may not do anything, but the next door neighbor is doing all these problems. So, again, for that to happen, the neighbors and the outside, the people who are surrounding, they have to be good as well. And again, procreation and marriage takes an effect. How? Because if these people are born into a good family, born into a good having good parents, then they will become good people, and hence these good people will have an effect on you. So marriage is, that is why to understand marriage in Islamic context is very important. It's just not about realizing our kernel desires, but it is understanding the whole reason and the whole mechanism behind it and the whole purpose of marriage. Now, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made man and woman? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the seed in the man? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept a place to put the seed in the woman? And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the urge? And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, basically brought about all this system that is geared up for procreation? So if we understand that, then we can understand first that why, what function does a marriage take, what function does a marriage have, and why, what is the implication within the Islamic framework marriage can have. So that is why it's very important that we understand this. So to have peace from within and without, again, marriage plays a very integral part. So having a good spouse, having a good partner, male or female, is something which is paramount for tranquility to be created within a person. And again, to have a peaceful society, again, is paramount as well. Why? So that people can live in peace and harmony and procreate. If a person knows there is destruction everywhere, problems happening all around them, they will think twice. A fearful person will think twice. Should I marry? Should I have children in this society, where it's going, you know, everything is damned and doomed? So we have to create the atmosphere as well, so that when children do come, they come in a society where they become good servants of Allah. So that is why it's very important that we understand the purpose of marriage. He goes on to say, Almighty Allah created men and women and ordained marriage for them so that they can provide company to one another, love one another, procreate children, and live in peace and tranquility while obeying the commands of Allah and His Messenger. Peace and blessing be upon them all. So here he's gone on to say one of the actual purpose of marriage. That marriage is there, the main function of marriage is to procreate. Is so that we can extend the mankind and mankind can exist. That is one of the main reason of marriage. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it many times, تَزَوَّدُ الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودُ, in one of the hadiths, that you should marry a person, a woman, that will give a lot of children and that is loving and caring. So why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned these words in his sayings is to demonstrate that the one of the function of marriage is that we procreate. In another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is better to get married to a woman who is not that beautiful but can give children than to a woman that is beautiful but can't give children. Why? Again, the purpose, one of the purpose of marriage is having children. And it is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree, and it is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order of maintaining this whole universe. Why? It's so that people can procreate, and the final outcome, which is Jannat and Jahannam, which is heaven and hell, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and He has created that to fill both of them with people. If people is not creating, then that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done something which He intends not to do, or He doesn't have power over. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created heaven and hell to fulfill both of them. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. that surely we will fill Jahannam, the fire of hell, with jinn and ins, mankind. And that can only be done if people are procreating. And after procreation, they do what is written for them, or they do out of their own actions, right or wrong, and then face the consequences in terms of heaven and hell. So that is all part of the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the big plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why He has created man and woman. And that's why He has created carnal desires. That is why He's created a man with the functionality of putting the seed, and created women with having the ability to hold the seed. So all these Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for His master plan. And that His master plan is to fulfill paradise and hell. So procreation is one of the main function of marriage. Which is the purpose of marriage. Second is to fulfill sexual and emotional gratification, which, as we all know, that the religion of Islam is the religion of fitrah. Fitrah means natural disposition. It is a religion which is made, or which is a pathway which a human follows naturally. Nothing in Islam is unnatural. It is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind. All that path is in that manner, so that he or she doesn't have to divert from the natural way of life. So Islam is the natural way of life. Islam is the natural way of life. And that is why Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that make yourself and put yourself towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. And that deen is what? Is the fitrah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And He's created fatara nasa ali, has created everybody on that fitrah, on that natural disposition. Every person. That is why it is said, kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitrah. That every child is born under natural disposition. Number one natural disposition is that the child naturally will have an understanding, or will his instinct will gear him to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that child was to be left alone without any interference from anywhere, either materialistically or socially or emotionally or through friends and family, was just left in a jungle, that child will come to understand that there is one God. He or she may not understand if there's a prophet. He or she, obviously, if they don't understand that, they may not understand about religion, but will understand that there is one creator. That is the natural disposition of every single child. And this is why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu mauludin yuladu al fitra, fa abawahu yuhawwidanihi aw yumajjisanihi aw yunassiranihi." That it is the parents who make them into a Christian, or into a Jew, or into an idol worshipper. It is the parent. It is the environment that he or she is in, that child is in, will make that child move away from the natural disposition, and then the child will come to understand that. So the natural way is the Islamic way. That is the natural way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never stopped the human being following the natural way of life. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the urge, created man, woman. So, and to have this conjugal relationship, to fulfill that carnal desire, that is natural. That is natural. There's nothing wrong with that. But yes, all that has to be put with limitation. Because anything that goes beyond limitation will have consequences and will have bad results. That goes with everything. We have anger. Again, it's been created for a purpose. We have passion. Again, it's been created for a purpose. We have love. Again, it's been created for a purpose. Everything we have, it is there for a purpose, but greed, again, it is for a purpose. If man was not to have any more greed, the world would just stop. There will be no desire to investigate, or in terms of investing in the future. Why? Because there's no need. People say, whatever I got is fine, and then it will harm everybody. And again, people won't even desire for Jannah and Jannah. If the greed for Jannah is not there, and this is what the Sahaba has always been given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that if you do this, you will get this much reward. If you do this, you will get this bin Jannah. If you do this, you will get this. Again, this is all part of the natural disposition of man, is having greed. But it has to have limitations. Otherwise, that person will then go into the realms of committing sins. And that is why, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ, that these are the boundaries. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ, and whosoever transgresses these boundaries will have definitely oppressed himself. So transgressing the boundaries. You have too much sugar, too much salt, you're oppressing yourself. You are oppressing yourself. You have too much food, you're oppressing yourself. So same way, doing sin, you're oppressing yourself. Anything you do when you transgress the boundaries, you're oppressing yourself. You get angry, you hit somebody, you've actually oppressed yourself. In fact, you have oppressed yourself. Because he takes action, you put yourself in jail now. What have you done? You've oppressed yourself. So that's what happens when you transgress the boundaries. This is why the Quran says, فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَ. We do sometimes, we don't understand the Quranic, what the Quran is trying to say. So when you transgress the boundaries, you have oppressed yourself. You haven't just forget the oppression of the other person, you have done it to yourself. So in any forms of, in any mode of transgression, is really upon yourself. So that is what we need to understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this deen of fitrah in a way so that we can fulfill our carnal desires the natural way. And that natural way is through marriage. Why is it through marriage? Why is it not just having free sex? Just go around fulfilling? Because these have so much detrimental effects on human society. Again, that is not the natural way. We have to have tranquility within and without. And that will not be achieved if one goes and fulfilling that natural desire outside the marriage. Number one, disease will spread. And we see that. Disease are spreading. Number two, deformity of children will increase. Why? It's because when children are born to anybody, we don't know what illness the parents can have. And it is important that when we do get married, that we do look at these kind of factors. That if these diseases can be inherited, can be passed on or not. But when it's fulfilled out of that, out of wedlock, then these diseases are then passed on. Number three, that's just the physical side. But what about the moral? What about the inner conduct of the person? That is completely destroyed. Modesty is taken away. Shame is taken away. And a person then starts to lie. How many times you've seen somebody, he lies all day long. Where have you been? I've been there, but he's been somewhere else. He's been doing the wrong things. And all these vices are being created because of that. And another thing which is very detrimental is that the children do not have loving, caring parents. And what we also come to realize is that these children which are born out of wedlock are normally born due to their sexual inclination to each other. Out of basically lust. And then what happens is that this is an unwanted child. This is not a child that was actually wanted by both parents. So this is an unwanted child, it's out of sexual lust, and all these animalistic desires and instincts are then passed on to the children. So forget having angelic instincts, you have animalistic instincts, and that is passed on to the children without the parents even wanting. And then when this child is not wanted, that same love and care attention is not paid to that child. That same love and care is not paid to that child. And then what happens? That child normally tends to become not a good person in society. So, if that is not happening, then can we have tranquility? It's impossible. Because these are the people who run riots. These are the people who will go on burning down shops and whatever. Then how is a person going to live in peace and tranquility? Impossible. So this is why it's so important that when we do fulfill our natural carnal instincts, it has to be done in this manner. And when it's done in this manner, then the benefits are huge. One of the benefits is you have an inter-family alliance. You become stronger. Your family grows. You not just have one family, you have two families. That is why I say marriage bonds two families together, making it one huge family. And this is what the Quran says. وهو الذي خلق من الماء بشرا فجعله نسبا وصهرا. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created man from water, meaning from sperm. And وجعله نسبا, and he has created for him lineage, meaning nasab, from his children, offsprings, and وصهرا, which is in-laws. So that is an extended family now. The family has become bigger and stronger. So what marriage does, it unites and it makes a family stronger. It creates love. It creates bondage. It creates unity. It creates strength, which is all the characteristics of a good nation. A nation can only be strong when they are connected, when they have numbers, when they are bonded together, when they are one and united. Then that community and that nation becomes a strong nation. And this is why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yadullahi ala al-jama'ah," that the help of Allah is on jama'ah. And the English knew that if they are united, we will never win. That's why divide and rule. Make division within them and then you'll be able to rule them. You have them together united and then you will not be able to rule. This is why today we are so large in numbers, yet we are so weak. It's because today we are fragmented. Although we are large in numbers and millions of people, Muslims, over a billion of Muslims, with so much resources, in terms of natural resources, in terms of money, in terms of everything, yet we are so weak. Reason why is that we are not united. And one of the ways of uniting people is through marriage. And this is what they used to do in the times of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would get the Sahabas to marry into different families, so that the bondage is created. Then they realize that this is my family now. This is part of my family. Your in-laws think that you are my son-in-law. You are my family now. And then that love is created. And that kinship is created. Which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Jannat is haram on the person who cuts the ties. So these ties that have been created now have to be preserved. And in that preservation is the strength that lies within that community. So this is what one of the benefits of, this is one of the purpose of marriage as well. Also another purpose of marriage is to protect lineage. If marriage wasn't there, you'll have a plethora of children not knowing who are the parents. Who is responsible for the children? Oh, sorry. We would have so many children that we do not even know who their parents are. Or parents are ashamed to know that I'm the father of that children. And then when this happens, again, it will have detrimental effect on the society. We have to look at the bigger picture. Islam is always looking at the bigger picture. Today, you have homosexuality. They think it's fine. The reason why they think it's fine is because it doesn't. They think that it doesn't affect the other person. It's two men who want to come together. They do what they want. What's it got to do with us? But this has an effect on the society as a whole. They do not understand that. And it might come to an extent, it might come to a time when they might even think paedophilia will be okay. It might even come to a time where they may think paedophilia is okay. If a man has an inclination towards another man, that is not natural. Just like if a man has an inclination towards an animal, is that natural? No. And yet, there are people who have fulfilled their sexual urge with animals. Now, would we call that normal? So how can a man fulfill his sexual desires with another man or a woman with another woman for that purpose be normal? It cannot be normal. So it's not about just minding your own business, it doesn't have an effect. It will have an effect in the society. And today, this is what's happening. You've got people, all these stars who are marrying other men and they're having children by surrogacy. What's going to happen to that child when he grows up? He's got no mother. One says, I'm daddy, and the other one's papa, because there's no mother, so we have to say something. So one is papa, one is daddy. And when he grows up, he says, where's mama? She's lost in America somewhere. And that's what's happening. That's what's going to happen. And what is going to happen? So that is not the natural way. That is against the procreation. But they call it minding your own business. It's got nothing to do with me. It does have something to do with you, because it has a wider community effect. This is what happens when you take Islam out, when you take the religion out of politics, out of running nation. When you take Islam out and you leave it to man's own ability, then obviously he will go wrong. Because the foresight of a man is very limited. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's foresight and seeing ahead is unlimited. Because he's created man. He knows the limitation of man. He knows what is going to happen. So this is why he gave us the religion, for our safeguard. These are the boundaries. Stay within that. You understand or not understand it, your Your safeguard is in that. And to make it easier for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you do it, I will also reward you. I will also reward you. One is saying that, okay, if you go one step, you'll fall into the pit. That's safeguarded. But if you don't do that, I'll also give you £1 million. Not only is helping me to safeguard myself from causing myself harm, but he's also rewarding me for that. I'm going to give you £1 million, which is even better. The Jannah is even better than £1 million. He's going to give us Jannah for that. And to make it more easy for us, he's also given us a stick. Given us a carrot, he's given us a stick. Look, if you do that, I'm going to beat you now. I'm going to throw you into the fire of hell. To help us again. When you have a carrot and a stick, it helps us. You need both sometimes. Sometimes just the carrot doesn't work. Some people just don't even care. So that's why they need a stick. Move them. Some people, you give them the carrot, they run a mile. They want two carrots, not just one. And some people don't even want one carrot. They need a stick. Hit them. It doesn't move. So that's the natural way of a person. Some people, you need stick. Some people, you need carrot. So Allah loves us so much. He says, not only it will safeguard you, but here's the carrot and here's the stick. You got to go. Safeguard yourself. Don't go that way. That is what Islam is telling us. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So the protection of lineage is also one of the purpose of marriage. The benefits of this bondage, of this companionship, is many. The one which we all come to hear so many times is وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنَ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that amongst his signs, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنَ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, that he has created for you, from amongst you, أزواج, spouse, and وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. وَمِنْ آيَاتِ أَنَ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا, so that you may feel tranquility from her. So that you may acquire tranquility from her. So this is one of the benefits of companionship, is that you will get tranquility. You will get the peace, inner peace within yourselves. That is why having partner, having a spouse, having a wife, or having a husband, what happens is that this companionship is created, hence things can be done very easily. Also, one of the biggest, another benefit is that a person sometimes, if he's living single, he has to do everything, or she has to do everything herself. A single woman or a single man has to not only earn, but also has to maintain the home. Life becomes difficult. For a woman, it's less of a case, because Islamically, a woman's expenditure is either taken care of by the parents until her marriage, or by the husband after her marriage. But in the unlikely event that she has no parents, she has no brothers, she has nobody apart from herself, then obviously she has to sustain herself. But with the case of a man, it's very more understandable. Because a man's responsibility is not on anybody. Once a man becomes mature, that person is on his own foot. He must stand on his own feet. He must start to earn his own money. Now, if he's to earn his own money, then trying to maintain the home becomes a difficult issue. You work 8 hours, 10 hours, you come home, you have to cook yourself a meal, clean the house, do your other activities. So many things. So, maintaining the home front and also earning money becomes a difficult chore. It does. It has a strain on the person. One person may become used to it, but It does make difficulty, especially if you've got other people to look after. If you've got, for example, a mother or a father who is poor, the responsibility of that is upon that child. If the mother and father cannot, doesn't have money to look after themselves, then who has to bear that responsibility? It's the offsprings. And also, mother and father, okay, they've passed away, has a brother who is poor. Again, it is that person's responsibility to look after that brother. So now he has to look after the brother, he has to do this. So it becomes difficult. So by marrying, then at least the house front is then looked after. And that is the natural way. That this is what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Fatima, you look after the house, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala will look after the affairs outside the house. And by doing that, the house will then run smoothly. So much so, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha would go so far to fetch water, that when she would carry the water, then carry on her head, there'd be a line that'd be created on her forehead, carrying the water in desert heat, making her own thingy, own flower. Today it's all mechanical, press the button, what flower, go to Tesco's, buy it, one by one, get one free, and there's so many things happening. But back in those days, it is, that's how it was. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala would go out and he would do his earn his sustenance from outside. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha inside, cleaning the house, doing this, doing that. And this is the natural way of running a family house. And when a person marries, then the husband then doesn't have to come home after doing 8 hours, 10 hours work, not think about who is going to run the house. And not think about who's going to make the meal. Not think about, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. So that itself, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, is embedded in that, so that you may find tranquility within her. So that tranquility, part of that tranquility, is that the home is looked after, cared after, is clean, and is taken care of. So when that happens, then you have that. You have that sukuna. You have that itminan. You have tamanina. You have that tranquility, that sukkah, that, you know, the happiness, all that is created when both of these things are done. Otherwise, a man gets stressed out. If he was to come home and do the homework as well, he has nobody to do it, then that will have an effect on his ibadah. That will have an effect on his running in seeking knowledge and etc. Because it is the man's duty to make sure that his subordinates are looked after, are educated Islamically. If he cannot learn Islam, how is he going to pass it on to his subordinates, his children, his wife? He can't pass it on because he's too busy doing other things. So this is what the Sahabas, the Muslims, we stay in the company of Rasulullah, come home and pass on the message, pass on the information, pass on the knowledge of deen to their subordinates, to their children, to whatever whom they have to pass on. Because women weren't encouraged to come to the masjid. Women was encouraged to stay at home, although permissibility was given for them to come to the masjid to come join Salah, but they were encouraged to stay at home and do in terms of hijab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to practice what has been said. Sorry for taking up all your time, as time has depleted. Inshallah, any questions, inshallah?
Yeah, you take questions
now. Yeah.
If you don't mind, I'll start with the question. You said that passion is natural and it's a good thing. Like, normally we consider it a good thing, so why does it need a limitation?
Because the question is, if passion is natural, then why does it need limitation? It's because anything that goes beyond limitation has a detrimental effect. So if a person's passion goes beyond limitation, hence it makes him transgress the boundaries. That's when it's bad. Passion becomes bad when it makes a person transgress the boundaries. If it doesn't, then it's okay. Greed is not a bad thing. It's only bad when it forces somebody to transgress the boundaries. That's when it is known as a bad thing. Although naturally greed is okay. You know? But if it makes a person break the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, if I work another 2 more hours, I'll get another £200, but that means I have to forsake my Maghrib Isha. Then you are transgressing the boundaries. But if it means that you work in 2 hours, I can still pay my Asr in time and everything, fine. So it's all about breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there any more questions?
You mentioned about obviously it's better for a person to marry for a man to marry a woman who can have children than for somebody who can't. Although, would a person not, you know, if a person wants to make that sacrifice, knowing that somebody can't have children, would he not get rewarded as well? You know, because obviously the woman at the end of the day still needs somebody to get married to. So, because obviously I know people in that situation who have made that sacrifice.
Yes, I mean the thing is, the normal circumstances that would be the case. But if a person wants to have a second wife, and a second wife, for example, doesn't have any children, can't have any children, but for companionship, he gets married to a second wife, it's a good thing. Prophet ﷺ did that so many times. He got all the people who, apart from Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, all of them were divorces and widowed. So he got married for their comfort. Again, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once asked one Sahabi when they were coming back from one battle. I'm going to explain that in the future in the thingy, but as you've asked the question, I'll explain. Is that and he asked, "Did you get married?" And he said, "Yes, I got married." He goes, "Did you get married to a virgin or to somebody?" Who's been divorced, because I got married to a divorcee. He goes, "Why did you get married to a divorcee? Why did you get married to a virgin? So that you can play with her and you can be happy." He goes, "Look, my father passed away and I have 7 sisters. So I need somebody to help me to look after those sisters." Prophet said, "That's a fantastic virtue." So intention does play a part. But when we're talking about normal circumstances, would it be? If it's out of the normal circumstances and you need to help somebody, or for example, yes, man is allowed to marry four. So get one married for children, get another one married to help somebody. Nobody's stopping you.